The aim of the forum was to get the personal perspectives of people who aren't climate change experts, but who might have ideas on how to help theirs and other communities deal with the problem. Hundreds of people packed to Melbourne University Lecture Theatre to hear from former President of the Australian Human Rights Commission, Gillian Triggs, Indigenous barrister and academic Mick Dodson, anti-coal advocate Wendy Farmer and Tonga's own Peter Tafatofua, the two-time flag bearer and Olympian. Also there was Joseph Zane Sekulu, a Pacific climate warrior for Tonga, who made an official call to action while dressed in his traditional Daowala. He says his job is to not only tell the story of climate change, but also the story of the Pacific as being at the forefront of direct climate action.
So a lot of our work is based upon bringing down parts per million. It's all about bringing carbon down, and a lot of our work has always been focused towards the fossil fuel industry, and Australia has always been a big target because Australia is one of the big contributors and fossil fuel is really big here. Newcastle, the blockade of Newcastle is one of the big things that we did, and it was really about trying to pull out an action that speaks truth to Pacific people, but it's also authentic to the way we did things. So canoes were carved out in the islands and we brought them over to Newcastle Port and we blockaded that coal port for a whole day.
Zane grew up in Sydney but visits Tonga frequently and remains close to family there. He spoke of watching in fear as his aunt live-streamed video of herself as her house was being hit by Cyclone Geeta earlier this year. He says Cyclone Geeta has brought climate change to the front of people's minds in Tonga.
Talk of climate change has really just become a reality now after Geeta. Before that, it was always been hard to try and describe what it is and what it means to people in Tonga and what's been causing it, because it's such a big issue for people in such a small place and such a small frame of the world. And also a place where religion is still really fundamentalist, and people, you find that a lot of people think that climate change is being caused by God and they're waiting for Noah's Ark. But now as time goes and things like cyclones are becoming more and more ferocious, people are actually becoming more aware and starting to ask questions. And that's really what's happening in the country at the moment. People are asking questions and are finding out more about it.
While the solution to global climate change wasn't going to be found in 1 2-hour panel discussion, the audience and the speakers raised a number of interesting questions. How do you make a problem like climate change less abstract for people in industrial countries who don't have the ocean lapping at their front door? Can legal rights be given to individual land features such as Australia's Great Barrier Reef? What can we do about the enormous amounts of methane emissions from animal agriculture? And could nuclear power be a solution to carbon emissions? Professor Gillian Triggs says she wants to stress the effect of climate change on human rights.
When we look at the planet as a whole and the legal standards that apply for all human beings, we need to look at the impact of climate change on human development and on the human right to clean water, to a safe environment, to a clean environment, to security, to food security, and of course also to think about some of the consequences of the probable mass migration or predicted mass migration of people as a consequence of global warming that raises even more profound problems for asylum seekers and refugees. And we really need to think about how the law is going to have to develop to meet that range of problems. So in short, I'm really looking at climate change from the perspective of the legal obligations that exist to protect the rights of individuals.